Welcome back to the Weekly Chisme, a podcast where we really don't stick to the script. This is Franklin, and on this episode, we have Francesca. She's going to discuss her journey with cancer, thoughts about death, and everything in between. So stay tuned. Hello, everyone. Here we have a special guest. Do you mind telling us your name?
My name is Francesca.
Perfect. And what city do you live in?
I live in the Valley.
Look at you, LA area.
Local.
Yeah, right? Super local.
Well, I just want to start off with saying thank you so much, Francesca, for being a part of this.
Yes, thank you.
Of course, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Of course. The reason we wanted to have you on, I've been following kind of your journey, and there is a lot of light and positivity and messages that we can bring to light, especially with the times that we're going through now. I think, you know, we're going to go into it a bit, but I feel like you have been kind of what I like to say woke for a long time. And I think that a lot of people are starting to wake up, you know,
I think
with a pandemic going on, people are starting to realize like what fucking matters, you know?
Yeah,
like,
what's important.
What's
important.
But then
there's also those people who you're like, dang, like you're still on the same shit. Like,
right.
There's people who are like complaining over the, you know, like they're complaining. And I get it because, you know, one thing I've realized in this journey is everybody's walk of life is different. So everyone's experience is going to be a little different. And it doesn't mean your feelings are not valuable or they don't matter, because the problem is not that huge. But really, you know, think about, is it really that serious? Like, you know, like you kind of level up with, damn, like, am I really dealing with something that painful? Or because people don't realize how lucky they are.
So what we're gonna do for this interview, everyone, is bring some realness, some reality, some real conversations for everyone to really understand that there's a lot more to life than we really, you know, think about. I think we get so busy with our lives and our minor problems, but let's bring some light into a journey that has been very difficult and Francesca's still dealing with. So Francesca, I guess we can start off with, let everyone know, what is your diagnosis and what are you going through?
So back in 2015, I was diagnosed with a very rare cancer disease called mixoprolliferative ependymoma with anaplastic features. So as far as information goes, it's like rare to the point that it practically doesn't even exist and there's no study on it or about it whatsoever. 2015, I was having pain and just all this weird shit going on in my body and I just couldn't figure out why. And they actually misdiagnosed me with sciatica.
So,
that's a whole nother
nightmare.
Basically, I mean, you know, imagine just being in pain and they're telling you, oh, you only, it's this and it's that. And months later, it turns out to be like something a little bit more serious than that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it fell through.
When did you find out exactly? Like, what do you remember specifically about that day?
Oof.
So, I know, it's going way back.
Yeah, so I was in the hospital. I was supposed to be going for surgery with the orthopedic because the whole time they thought it was a, you know, like a bulging disc.
Mm-hmm.
And literally two, 3 days before my actual surgery, doctor walks in with a neurosurgeon. They basically were like, you know, it's not what we think it is. It's not sciatica. You have a tumor in your spine pressing against your nerves. So it all kind of made sense to me why I was going through so much pain. It was to the point that I couldn't lay down. I couldn't sit down. So for maybe like 2-3 months, I don't even know how I did it. I was standing up. I couldn't sleep. I wasn't even... I mean, I don't want to say aloud, but basically it didn't allow me to rest. Life-changing moment. But at that time, they told me once they remove it from the surgery, you know, I was going to be able to do, you know, just the normal stuff that I was doing. So I was very happy about that. I remember just looking at my parents, you know, I mean, my mom was... I remember my mom and my brother were there, and, you know, I thug it out. I kept a G and I didn't even cry. I was like, you know, I think after the doctors left, I told my mom and my brother, like, just can you guys just give me a minute, you know? And that's when I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? And I think they knew, you know, but yeah. They definitely mm-hmm. gave me my space. Yeah, I was like, all right, fuck it. Let's, you know, let's do this surgery. Right. So let's say that was like a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I had my surgery on a Friday and no pain medicine was working whatsoever. It like was not touching the surface. So they were giving me like the strongest shit there is and mm-hmm. nothing worked.
Wow. Oh, man. And like, I will say like one of the things, and like this is taking it way back. I remember us from high school and you just always thugging it out. You were always tough. Like people knew not to mess with Francesca because she was gonna get down. Like it was like,
right,
like Francesca
right.
Francesca was just that person where it was like she was chill, but don't mess with her.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what I remember one of my old friends told me, you were like, you bullied the bully. That's basically, I was like, what? And it just made sense, you know, like I was like the pick your own side, yeah. You know, like why are you messing with that little right. person? Like,
right. So if we alone. Needed help, we'd be like, let's go get Francesca. But yeah.
Basically.
Right. And
basically.
You were talking about your treatment process and, you know, how that was going. But did you see any obstacles during your treatment process? And how did you overcome these obstacles?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so the hard part about that is because it is so rare. Every treatment that I did, I felt like just like a trial, like, let's see if this works. Okay, that didn't work. Let's do this one. So it was because there's no study, you know? So the hard part about that I've experienced, again, it's just the not knowing, mm-hmm. the not having, okay, if we do this, this is what's gonna happen. Or if we do that, this is gonna, you know what I mean? So yeah. It was very hard for me to keep jumping because, I mean, that's what, 2015? Yeah. It's 2020. Yet I'm still doing the same shit. Like, I'm just touching the surface, yeah. you know? So that's what's hard about it. And, like, I don't know if it's just tough being in a situation when you just don't mm-hmm. know. Like, nobody's telling me yeah. shit, you know? Like, I'm just, like, doing this to see if it works. And even up to this day, well, I mean, they've been able to find yeah. some stuff out. They found out that it's genetic. That's kind of how I got it. But it's still... But it's so hard to even explain. Like, they found out that it's genetic, but the diagnosis... is still the same. Like, it's still rare. It still doesn't mm-hmm. exist. Like, there's no, you know, about it. Like, I just finished treatment a little over, like, maybe I say 2 months ago, and I don't think nothing happened.
I Sorry, love it. Guys, we have my a guest barking.
I know. Right? Introduce yourself. But yeah, so now she wants to get out of this freaking room. Girl, this is why I don't let you in. Having something like this is just so rare.
It seems like treatments are ongoing and it's something you're still dealing with, as you mentioned. I know for me mm-hmm. personally, and I know probably for a lot of people, like I'm scared to just go to the dentist and get it. Like if I have to get something extracted or right. if I need to go get vaccines, oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? But like you've been put under, right. if I'm not wrong, right? Like you've been put asleep before for surgeries.
Oh, so many times. Like my last one was pretty gnarly. I've had maybe 4 or 5 spinal mm-hmm. surgeries. I've had like 2 brain surgery, 3 maybe. Like I've gotten to the point where I feel like I've mm-hmm. lost count. But my last surgery was pretty intense. I felt like I was very lethargic, but I remember like bits and pieces of it. And I actually had a pretty crazy, I don't know if it was a dream or idea of, yeah. So basically from my last surgery, I thought, cause it was like 2 in 1, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's why I was there for so long. I was going in there for a tumor removal and a drainage in my spine. So they did that. It was successful. Cool. So I was there for about a week or so after that surgery. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the day of or the day before they were trying to, you know, send me home, I like apparently I wasn't mm-hmm. waking up. Mm-hmm. I was like going, like I was going in and out of sleep, and they couldn't keep me up. And, you know, they got worried. So they ordered a CT scan for the brain, and they found that my right brain, I had a brain hemorrhage about a few months mm-hmm. ago, but they had put that on, like, you know, they were like, oh, it's fine, we'll put it out for a minute, because yeah. I was mm-hmm. in treatment. So they didn't want to do any surgery or any of that, because clearly, you know, I'm doing the treatment for mm-hmm. a reason. The plan was, after treatment, they were gonna, you know, do the surgery on that, which so happened that I had to have the spine first. The plan was I was gonna come back like 2-3 weeks after yeah. surgery and then do that surgery again, but it just so happened that it was basically like the brain hemorrhage was having a brain hemorrhage.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, man. So it seems like you've gone through,
yeah, there was like bleeding wow. around my brain. So yeah,
that seems so intense, you know, even just talking yeah. about it. And I'm sure like the viewers are gonna be like, what, like, you've gone through this? And so with like talking about the treatment process and going under, are you ever scared to go under surgery? And also, I guess we're going to get really deep. Are you scared yeah. of death when you're about to go into these surgeries? Because, you know, we never know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, I've just gotten so used to them. It sucks mm-hmm. to say, but it's like every time I go into surgery, I'm just thinking, God, remove, you know, whatever, you know, please just have a safe, you know, operation. But if I'm being honest, there's been a few times, maybe even the last two surgeries, that I'm literally just praying to God. Like, there's parts of me that I'm like, let wow. me not wake up. And it's hard to say that because, you know, I have such a loving, supporting mm-hmm. family, but also because of what I feel physically on a day-to-day basis now, because I have to mm-hmm. deal with chronic illness mm-hmm. and now I also have to deal with disability, because my legs don't work. I haven't walked in over a year, so I'm practically oh. bedridden mm-hmm. and that's hard for me because I'm a Sagittarius. I like yeah. being outside, you know, like I'm a very, like, I gotta be on the move. Being this and like having to live like this is not yeah. fucking it. And that's why people are like complaining about the quarantine. I'm like, bitch, I've been in quarantine for 2 years. If I'm yeah. being really honest, yeah. you know, and I don't even remember them putting me to sleep. I don't remember mm-hmm. jack shit. And the last surgery, I actually, when I woke up in the ICU, I don't know what it was or if I was dreaming, but I thought like a group of people, and I hate to say this, but I'm like, a group of friends took me and, you know, might have like not necessarily kidnapped mm-hmm. me, but kidnapped me to just take me somewhere fun. And for some reason, I thought mm-hmm. I got in a car accident. Like, that was like I had that. I might have dreamed about it. Mm. I don't know what it was. It was trippy because I literally asked the nurse, I was like, did I get in a car wow. accident?
Oh, man.
And she was like, no, because I literally don't remember like going in and out. I don't remember any of that. I don't remember them taking me to get mm-hmm. CT scan, nothing at all. So that was a very like creepy moment for me. I'm like, shit, like, where have I been in the last few days, you know? And I couldn't think of people that would have done that, because I don't really, like, I mean, I hate to say this, but, like, mm-hmm. I don't really have friends anymore because of the situation. Like, life changes. It does a whole entire 180. Right. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's...
So, speaking of support, your support network, did you have or do you have a support network?
That's the only reason that I'm still here, and why I've made it this far, because mm-hmm. of my family. My family is like my backbone and everything. Like, and sometimes there's a part of me that I'm like, damn, I used to like never be home. I used to just go out and just, you mm-hmm. know, do me kind of stuff. And, you know, I kind of just put them mm-hmm. on the back burner. And then when all this happened, the people I was with and hanging, like, they were
now that's a reality check.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely was for me. And sometimes I feel like God saved me from a self-destruction. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to say, you know, he did this or that, and be, you know, but there's part of me that I feel like, had this not happened, I don't really know where I would mm-hmm. be right now, mm-hmm. if that would make sense. Because it wasn't like I was a bad kid or I was doing bad shit, but I think my priorities were just not where they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when something like this happens, what happens is people get mm-hmm. scared, you know, because it's almost like you become a mirror of what possibilities they could be right. facing look like, and you become somebody they're no longer familiar mm-hmm. with.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Like, you're no longer the turn up Francesca, the life of the party mm-hmm. Francesca, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, that's one of the things that I
yeah.
have to
yeah
realize.
And I think it's important that you bring up, like, you know, self-destruction can be different for everyone, but yeah. I also can
right.
relate, and I'm sure Myra can talk about this, but like, living in Los Angeles, being so accessible to like mm-hmm. nightclubs and bars and the nightlife and everything, like, it's so easy
right.
to get caught up. And like, I've been there, we've all been there.
Right.
And I think that it's interesting that you bring up like priorities, because, you know, it is interesting. Like, I've been there. I'm still there sometimes where I'm like, okay,
yeah,
what are we celebrating right. every weekend? Like, what is our purpose
right.
not to party every weekend? I mean, I don't think so. Like, what we need to right. put things in a row and really understand what's valuable to us and what we
yeah.
should take time for.
Right.
But also, I guess that brings up to the next topic.
Well, I was just going to bring up, what okay. encourages you to share your journey on like Instagram and all the different social media platforms? Like, what do you think it's important to share your story?
I think it's important because I believe that mm-hmm. when you share your story, you could possibly
yeah.
be saving someone's life. But I've also had I've had people tell me, oh, I think it's weird that you're recording yourself crying. And I've had other people say, should you be sharing like that much? Like, have you talked to someone mm-hmm. professional? Like, nobody's forcing you to watch or listen mm-hmm. to what I'm saying. Like, why are you so stressed
yeah.
over what I'm doing? You know, but I think it also answers the whole insecurity shit. Like, I feel when people question you on those things, it's because they
yeah.
can't do what you doing. Like, they can't open
right.
up
yeah,
about
exactly.
what they,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel, for me at least, mm-hmm. I feel good when I do it. And it also could be my, you know, way of letting it out, you know, putting it out there. And I think it's important that, especially because of, you know, everybody's
mm-hmm.
experience
mm-hmm.
with cancer is different. You know, there's people who's had it or have it who can still do this and that. And that's the thing that made a difference. Because even in those 4 or 5 years that I went through this, I had a good 2-year run, because even though I knew I had cancer, I went back to work. I was working out. I was just doing normal, regular stuff up until it started. I guess the perfect
mm-hmm.
word would
mm-hmm.
be deteriorate, because that's when I felt like I was just deteriorating little by little, because the not walking started as I was walking
yeah.
with a cane, you know, and a walker and all that. Then from there, it went down to
wow.
not walking
yeah.
at all. About 80% of my body is completely numb.
Yeah, no, that
oh,
makes
man.
Total sense.
That makes
sense. But I will say, like, you sharing
yeah.
your stories, I appreciate them. Because
yes.
first of all, they are real.
I
they
do too.
Thank you.
And like, I can't, like, if people don't get it, that's fine. You don't have to view it. Like, that's just
yeah,
like,
they don't.
That's
simple
just
as
like,
that.
Yeah, simple with that. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't relate to it, that's fine. A lot of things happen in this world and you don't have to relate to it. But I think one of my biggest thing is, like, you need to be empathetic towards others. And if mm-hmm. not, just get out, like you said. But also, it makes me understand how people are not as authentic. It takes a lot of courage to be able to share your real truth, your real mm-hmm. raw self, for you to expose whatever you're going through. And I think right here, especially in Los Angeles and, you know, in like social media, we're showing our highlights of our life, our reels that are positive moments in life. But the reality is that it's a lot of ups and downs, and mm-hmm. none of us share that. So when I see someone that is able to authentically say whatever they're going through and like share their emotions, like, I see that as strength. And so I encourage everyone to like keep your skeletons outside and bring them out, bring them with you in your little social media mm-hmm. phase. Cause I think we're going to go into a shift in our social media in general. And this is like a technology segment, but I think like, there is gonna be a shift in where we're going to get tired of seeing every pretty picture or perfect world, like
perfect bullshit. Right.
Seriously, that is the best thing. Right. But like, I'm over it. Like, I'm overseeing the best of you. I want to see the real you. Like, who are you? You know,
I think it's important, you know, that, you know, little girls are watching us and you know, little boys who are thinking you mm-hmm. should be perfect all the time, you know, and it should never be that way, because we're all living in this unperfect world trying to figure shit out. And I know for a fact that you're not always pretty, and you're not always
looking, you know what I mean? Like, keep it real.
God pointed out every fear that I have and put me in like situations to have to face them. There's part of me that I feel like that sometimes.
And do you by any chance have any words of wisdom to someone who has recently been diagnosed with cancer?
Take it one day at a time, because that's literally all you can do. And just spend your time with your loved ones, your family, and like, don't be afraid, you know? Like, I'm not afraid of you know what's crazy? I used to be very afraid of death when I was younger. And I haven't told a lot of people this, but I mean, whatever. When I was a kid, I'd say maybe about 9 or 10 years old, maybe even probably younger than that. My grandmother used to be bedridden, and which is my mom's mom. She would sleep downstairs at our house when I was growing up in the Philippines. And then me and my mom will sleep with her downstairs. I remember this very clearly. I would wake up in the middle of the night crying, like, you know. And then I look at my mom and I'm like, Mom, we're gonna die together, right? Like, I used to have this thought of like, because we had such a big family, I went to a lot of funerals when I was younger, like my grandpa's brother, and you know, so we would go to these things, and like, you know, I would have this thoughts and ideas, and I would wake my mom up, and I'm like, Mom, we're gonna die together, right? Like, they're gonna bury me next to, like, that type of stuff. Like, what fucking 7-8-year-old would think these things, you know? And now I'm just like, shit, it is what it is, you know? Like, I'm not afraid of it. It's almost like I actually embrace the idea of it. And like I said, there was moments that I'm just like, and even till this day, I'm like, God, like, don't wake me up. Like, I'm, you know, definitely the last one was a little tough, because I'm like, I just want to hug and kiss my family one more time. And because it started during the pandemic, I didn't see them for that whole month. It was FaceTime all the time. Yeah, I was there by myself, dolo solo. They weren't allowed to have any visitors. Yeah, it was really tough being there by myself. And I was like, there was a part of me that I'm like, fuck, like, I kind of wish I just didn't wake up, you know, when all this stuff was happening. And then a part of me is like, I want to hug and love on them a little bit more.
I mean, that's definitely a real moment, because and it also shows how the pandemic has affected everyone differently. Even with you, yeah. with someone like, who has to go through treatment and surgeries, like you still weren't able to see your family. So God forbid that something happened to you, your family wouldn't have been
something
able to see
happened.
You.
I don't like that was one thing that I was worried about because I feel like my mom would have taken that a little hard, you know, not being able to see me and just be there for me before I went in or just not being around me for that amount of time. And then boom, like she's dead, you know, like, and the crazy part is my doctor, my surgeon told me that the last surgery, which was the brain surgery, they basically told me that I wasn't coming back. What? Like, I almost didn't come back. My surgeon was like, we almost lost you. Like, you weren't coming back. And I was like, us? I don't want to say light. I don't know if it was the light or whatever. I was, like, seeing a lot of, like, my family members, like especially my grandpa, which is my mom's dad that I like grew up really close to. I was like seeing his face and it was like, I don't know if it was a light or it was but it was just a very like moment for me. Like, whoa, everything from that surgery, from that moment was a blur to me. Like, I don't remember any of it. Even till this day. And the crazy thing is, like, there's different people are telling me different things.
One of the biggest things, like I said, I have been following your journey. I have been watching your videos and here and there. And I know that one of my biggest things, I think I saw this, I'm pretty sure earlier this year, I was already working. As people know, I'm always on the freeway. I'm always, if you live in LA, if you work even like 20 minutes away, you're going to be on the freeway. You're going to be on the street for hours, for days. It's just what we do out here in LA.
Right.
Even when we come to like plan birthdays or anything, like seriously, it takes hours to get anywhere. So what impacted me with one of your stories is that you mentioned that you miss driving, you miss being in traffic, and you miss working. And like, it also made me realize, and I think I might've seen this like in the evening, and then I fell asleep, woke up in the morning. I remember just sitting at my desk at work and thinking like, oh, today is going to be tough. And then I quickly like checked myself and I was like, wait, like there are people like Francesca who'd say like, I'm not even able to drive. Yeah. I'm not able to go to work. And it like shifted my whole day. Cause I'm like, you know what? Like, fuck your emotions, because there are people that can't even work, you know? And so like, that's the kind of like motivation I think that people need to hear. I think people don't understand that there are situations in which you're not even able to do things. And for you to have such a positive outlook is amazing. And I think that brings me to the question, like, what do you miss about the outside world? And what is it that you would love to get back again?
Oh my God. Ooh, let me not cry, guys. One second. Because I'm just, like, thinking about all these stuff. I just miss being able, you know? Like, I literally have to pee in a bag for my, like, for the rest of my life, probably. And, you know, I shit, I eat, I sleep all in the same one place. Like, I, you know, like, I have no shame to say that, because that's the reality. You know, that's some of the shit that some of us have to go through and live with. I just miss being able to wake up in the morning, get up and pee in the toilet. Imagine that. And I miss the smell of the beach. Because back then, like, even... Because, again, I had a good two-year run, like, right after my first surgery. Even though I was having surgeries in between those years, I was still able to walk and drive and, you know, all that stuff. So I just miss being able to drive with my window down, with music blasting. You know, if you know me, you know how much I love music. And I haven't even listened to anything like in a long time. It's just that it's not the same. I can't, you know what I mean? I don't enjoy the same things anymore. Like, that's how I used to listen to music, is in my car. Like, that's literally how much I enjoyed, like, that's why I said I don't mind being stuck in traffic, because that's what I would be doing. And I just miss, I as much as I hate it, I miss dating, like, just, you know, going to little meetups with this or that, or just being able to be normal, I guess. Like,
I hope that our listeners are understanding, like, we take the smallest things for granted. And like, this is the reason why I was so motivated to speak to Francesca, because I, like, started realizing, even in, within myself, like, I was like,
thank you.
I complain sometimes with things that are so unnecessary. And I worry about, like, the things that are not as important as I thought. And I think this brings me up to another thing, and this just came up in my mind. And here, again, pointing out the fact that we live in a stage where social media is so accessible. I can view an account from people in Europe, people in the UK, people all over the world. And we look at these lavish lifestyles, these lavish life that people live. And in LA, there's this whole thing about, like, hustling and, like, getting the car and the houses.
Right. And we live in one of the best cities in the world.
And so I was
going
to ask, like,
you know, so,
you know, we all aspire to want more in life, right? And a lot of us want, or, like, for me personally, like, there have been moments where I'm like, I want this car and I want this house and I want this. But then I realize, I'm like,
right.
If something were to happen to me, you know, would all of that shit matter? And it makes me think, like, probably not. So, like, what is your take on material things now? Like, do you care about the Louis and the Rolls Royce about the world? Like, does that shit even, is that a thought in your mind anymore? Stay tuned for part two next weekend. Thank you again for all of the support. And remember, life is way too short to deal with BS. Catch you guys next weekend. And just a reminder, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio. Search The Weekly Chisme, and you should be able to find us.